Please be seated. Red lights are flashing on the highway. I wonder if we're gonna ever get home. I wonder if we're gonna ever get home tonight. Everywhere the water's getting rough. Your best intentions may not be enough. I wonder if we're gonna ever get home tonight. That's from a song by folk singer-songwriter Patty Griffin. Often the song is referred to as "When It Don't Come Easy." She goes on to say, "You're out there walking down a highway. All of the signs got blown away. Sometimes you wonder if you're walking in the wrong direction. Normally, I don't preach about my work as a hospital chaplain in the emergency department, but lately, more and more, when asking people who identify as neither religious nor spiritual, what helps them cope with stress, music comes up. Music, sound. And I think about how much we appreciate and desire person-created sound. Here in this church, in our homes, cars, on bikes and buses, on walks, earbuds, playlists, mini speakers that can go anywhere. And so today we'll incorporate some different texts, holy in their own right, of the music we hear on the radio, stream, or download in our daily lives. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Gray clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I going to be an optimist about this? That excerpt is from the group Bastille, from a song called Pompeii. Again, those last two lines, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I going to be an optimist about this? An excerpt from a Facebook post the day after the devastating mass shootings in Las Vegas, which was just 2 weeks ago, stated, "Today was not the day for politics. Today was the day to help the police officer find his wife that he lost contact with in the chaos. Today was the day to pray for my friend to survive his surgery. So please, shut up." And the "shut up" was in uppercase letters. There were many responses, nearly all agreeing with the author, over 160 likes, over 40 comments supporting. But there were also a couple others. One said, "We are fortunate to have the luxury of deciding when we are comfortable discussing this and when we are not. The victims didn't have that choice." Another said, "I respectfully disagree. Every time we wait, another incident happens. Every time another incident happens, we are told to wait for a more appropriate time. Today, there will be more who say, not yet. And every not yet becomes a too late for another tragedy." There was also a Facebook post where someone said they'd called their legislator the day after the Las Vegas shootings. And the staffer answering the phone said, "It's too early to be talking about this right now." And the caller said, "I'm not calling about Las Vegas. I'm calling about Sandy Hook." Does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I going to be an optimist about this? And so, to continue with the text of Pompeii, according to the writings of Bastille, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Oh, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Last week, a group was started here at St. Thomas's for allies addressing racial justice. There may be a few spots left. The group will be learning and doing assignments from an organization called Safety Pin Box. From the website of Safety Pin Box, effective, measurable allyship. A monthly subscription box for white people who want to be allies in the fight for black liberation. The website continues, many will claim they are allies. Few will do the work necessary to demonstrate their commitment to eradicating white supremacy. In my hospital recently, there was a short diversity training, an introduction of sorts. The trainer spoke of the silence that often occurs when something uncomfortable or discriminatory is said. The trainer said, "Most often, when unpacking why someone remained silent when something was said that they found objectionable or that made them feel uncomfortable, at first, it's that they don't know what to say, but dig a little deeper, and it's often that no one wants to be ostracized. If you say something, you could be cast out or the next targeted person. And so we remain silent. We want to be part of the group. It's our human nature and a species survival mechanism. We don't want to be rejected." In today's readings, there's a lot of rejection. In the gospel, the king is rejected. The wedding guest without the proper robe is rejected. Even in Exodus, you could say that the people feel rejected, or perhaps more rightly, abandoned when Moses doesn't return. Even God appears to feel rejected, perhaps also feels abandoned. And it's worth pointing out that God doesn't much like it and gets pretty angry about it. In Exodus, we heard God say to Moses, "Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them." Let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. Some authors talk about anger as being a feeling of two types, primary and secondary. We're going to skip primary anger for today and go directly to secondary anger. When anger is masking a primary feeling. One author states, "A secondary emotion is one that emanates from a judgment about a primary emotion." I'll repeat that. A secondary emotion is one that emanates from a judgment about a primary emotion. They generally occur due to our unwillingness to fully accept and feel the primary emotion. The primary emotion is usually one that feels physically uncomfortable and might also have a social stigma attached that reinforces the tendency to hold it in. Sadness, guilt, anxiety, and fear are most often the primary emotions that get transformed into anger. Today's gospel seems to be walking in the wrong direction as well. In fact, some might say it's hard to think of it as gospel at all, in the true sense of the word, as good news. But it's important to remember it's a parable. And parables often tip things on their head, put the world askew in ways that can, at times, help us think outside the box, force a desperate attempt at a new perspective. Right now is a time when one could wonder if the world is walking in the wrong direction. The waters have been getting pretty rough lately, figuratively and literally. The earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, and fires. Discrimination runs rampant, policy devastation on so many levels. The mass murders in Las Vegas. I wonder about the silent wedding guest that was thrown out. An innocent, really. It's not as if the guest lashed out like the original invitees. He was simply silent. And what about our own silence and what it does to us? Silence in the face of mass shootings. Silence in the face of increasing natural disasters and inappropriate responses. Silence in the face of discrimination, racial, ethnic, legal status, age, physical ability, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, country of origin, familial status. What if Moses had stayed silent? Moses said to God, "Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind." Moses said this to God. Moses, the guy who upon his first encounter with God hid his face and said, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" Look how far Moses has come. Now Moses is swaying God. Moses continues, adding, "And do not bring disaster on your people. Remember." Remember, he tells God. Remember your love. Remember your promises. And God remembered. And God had a change of mind and perhaps of heart. Moses did not stay silent. Staying silent will only lead to our own weeping and gnashing of teeth. And how about the messed upness or dysfunction of waiting to be chosen? What if few are chosen is really that few choose? And in this case, to speak. From today's psalm, we hear, "So God would have destroyed them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath from consuming them." Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. And we know standing in the breach don't come easy. Whether it's with family, friends, or colleagues. Moses stood in the breach, the space between God's promise and God's anger. Between the silence of staying with God and the possible rejection and abandonment by God for speaking out. Moses selected, yet he was also chosen because he chose. Moses could have just let God go on a rant so that God's wrath would consume the people. That would have been the easy way. But Moses took a chance and trusted God. Let's hear the last lines from that Patty Griffin song. "But if you break down, I'll drive out and find you. If you forget my love, I'll try to remind you and stay by you when it don't come easy." God did not abandon Moses, and Moses did not abandon God. Moses said the difficult words that God needed to hear. May we find the words that need to be heard with strangers and also those we know. May we all choose to stand in the breach between alienation and silence. And may we remember that this community and this table will be here every Sunday when it don't come easy.